Eggs come in many styles of preparation based on culture and geography and plain old differences in taste. Some like their eggs runny, some like them hard. But aside from all that, if you want traditional Mexican-style eggs that come with tortillas, one of the places that's got a real following for that is Los Alamos on the west side.
I'm ready to go, man.
I had two eggs, beans and rice, man.
Did you happen to catch that both of those orders at lunchtime included eggs? I'm Gina Kaufman, and I don't know which comes first between the chicken and the egg, but I do know that a lot of people are ordering eggs at Los Alamos. So we're starting our chicken and egg show on KCUR's Central Standard with eggs. Our guest for that is Gus Suarez, who opened Los Alamos Market in Cocina with his family in 2001. Hi, Gus.
Hi, good morning.
So your place is a family-run neighborhood grocery with an area in back that's got tables and chairs. People can eat. They can order food from a counter. It is a restaurant, but that's not immediately obvious when you walk in the door.
That is correct. It's not a restaurant. I always call it Cocina.
And means kitchen.
Kitchen, which means kitchen. And so now we're more a restaurant. Market's been taken out because we need the room for some more tables.
Tell me the story of Los Alamos.
Well, I mean, I'm going to tell you that in a very, very few seconds because it's a long story. It just happened. There was an accident. Wow. That it happened. And I just came in 18 years ago and offering some Mexican products. And back then, the owners, they were not interested in my product. And she told me that she would rather sell me the business. Well, and that's how we end up in the market.
In that corner space over on 17th and Summit.
For the last past 17 years, because we're not 18 yet.
Almost 18.
Almost.
Almost voting age.
But in July, we'll make it.
I've been going to your store and restaurant since it opened, though I did not quite realize at the time that it was new because it felt from the beginning like it had been there forever.
Well, I mean, we started doing some little bit of remodeling to the building, and most people thought that we were closed for a while, and we never did close. It was just, while we were remodeling.
When people sit down and stay for a meal, there's a menu for the day on the chalkboard, and you can see what's cooking on a little buffet-type thing. I mean, there are, like, crock pots. It's very home cooking. Where do these recipes come from?
Well, those recipes, like I was telling my customers, this is why I eat at home. So those recipes come from mom, grandma, and this is what we eat back home,
Tell me about the egg dishes you serve, because you do have a really popular breakfast operation.
Well, one of them is our huevo rancheros. It's a very, very typical dish back home in Mexico. And we serve huevo rancheros at Los Alamos. And became very popular, where now we don't just serve it from certain time. Now we serve all day till 5 o'clock.
So you brought in some huevos rancheros for me to try, and they were scrambled eggs. In one case, mixed up with chorizo, very spicy, and in the other case, sort of like you had the eggs more separate from the meat with the chicken.
Yes, those are breakfast tacos.
Oh, okay. Okay. So that explains, because I was like, I thought huevos rancheros were over easy, pretty much.
Serving the plate, correct. Now, these are a brazen variety of huevos, which one of them was chorizo and egg, probably some bacon and egg, potato and egg. So you guys can try them on.
And so talk to me about these couple of differences. So first of all, let's talk about the breakfast tacos. When you make the eggs for that, you're making a scrambled egg. And can you talk about, like, tips and tricks for making scrambled eggs?
Well, what we decide to do in the morning is that there's very few Mexican restaurants that are open for breakfast. And we're one of them. And, I love donuts. And we try to start with some breakfast tacos. Now these days, especially on a Friday, everybody stops in the morning or headquarters ordering for breakfast tacos. And so we give the selection of all those that I mentioned.
So people were ordering breakfast tacos and then you started making them.
That is correct. That's how we end up. It was just all accidentally. That's why we don't have no menus whatsoever, because it just happened.
And then the huevos rancheros, which is the more the recipe that you were bringing in from your own childhood.
Yes, because, you know, back home, and I'm pretty sure in any home, if you don't have anything else to eat, I'm sure you're going to find an egg in the refrigerator, okay? So, and then you just fix it however you want, you prefer.
How do you prefer?
Mine, I love huevos in the morning, very early in the morning. I like actually any style.
Okay, but I need some tips and tricks for making your eggs come out just the way you want them to, because I feel like the egg is one of those things that is not hard to make, just if you're not picky, but it does require some technique to be able to get out, to be able to get it to come out exactly the way you want, and I'm not there yet.
Well, I'm not going to tell you the secret. It's just nothing but love, the love that you put in it. That's
so I don't love my eggs enough?
Well, I mean, it all depends how much love you put in there, whatever you're going to make it. You know, so I always tell people, you know, even if it's beans, you know, you got to put the love in it, isn't it's going to taste right.
But I feel like I do love my eggs, and they only sometimes come out right, and I have not figured out what you can do to make sure it comes out the right way. So, like, let's take, for example, you like your eggs in all styles, you say. One of them being, do you like a sunny side up egg?
Well, I love sunny side up, yes.
How do you make a sunny side up egg that's just perfect?
Well, in that case, you know, you just get it, you know, with the temperature, and don't get me wrong, a lot of times they don't come out right where I had to go back and try it for the second time. So it's a tricky. It's tricky. It's not, you know, I'm not a chef. It's just, like it says, I just give what I eat, you know, to my customers.
If you were to go to, like, a diner in Kansas City, eggs would typically be served with bacon and toast. In your restaurant, they're served with rice and beans, with tortillas. Can you talk about just how eggs are typically served in Mexico?
Well, just like you mentioned it, Gina, you know, it's served with bread here. Well, in Mexico, tortillas are, it's our bread. You know, we have to have tortillas. In any dish, it doesn't matter what it is, you have to have tortillas.
So if you're eating eggs with a tortilla, it is, and there's a little bit of, like, sauce in there and different stuff. It is my observation that you should probably not be too attached to, like, clean fingertips.
Well, when it comes to Mexican food, you know, there's no rules, you know. You're going to get messy, you know, because of the sauce. You know, it might spill on your shirt, and especially if you're wearing white, it's going to be a messy.
So sitting down with a breakfast taco, for example, with a fork and knife and trying very carefully to keep it all contained in a bite, that's not the way to go?
No. You don't need tacos with silverware. You see it. You see with your fingers, you know. You just
So we are moving on to chicken after this break that'll be coming up. And before we do that, I am wondering if you have any thoughts about preparing and serving chicken that's super tasty. Because, you know, there's this whole debate, what comes first, the chicken or the egg? We're neutral on this because we are a news organization. But we started with chicken, with egg, and we're moving on soon to chicken.
Well, I would recommend chicken mole.
Tell me about chicken mole.
Chicken mole is a recipe from that you make from scratch. There's a lot of ingredients in it. If you're making real mole, and it's all the flavor in the mole, in the sauce.
It's all in the sauce?
On the sauce, on the mole sauce.
How do you make sure the chicken is really yummy? What is your chicken preparation preference?
Well, in this particular case, you boil your chicken, and then the broth, you mix that with the mole sauce along with all the ingredients.
And the boiled chicken would be really tender, and you can just shred off the pieces.
That's what should we come out, yes.
Gus Suarez with us from Los Alamos Market in Cocina. This has been a lot of fun. Thank you so much for your egg tips.
Thank you for having me here.
So the egg came first today on KCUR's Central Standard, and the chicken is next. This is a food show. Stay tuned. I'm Gina Kaufman. This is KCUR Central Standard, and now we're talking about chicken. There are a lot of ways to get chicken in Kansas City. Chicken salad, chicken sandwich, chicken on a bone that you eat with your hands, shredded chicken, chunks of chicken in a sauce over rice, spadini, marsala, parmigiana. The list is truly endless. But when someone says Kansas City chicken to me, my mind goes straight to one place first and foremost, and we're going to go there now with our producer, Chris Young.
Just off of Vivian Road in the Northland, on a grassy plot surrounded by trees, sits Oak Ridge Manor. A homestead built in 1829, it's now home to one of three locations around the Kansas City metro of Stroud's Restaurant. Mike Donegan has owned Stroud since 1977.
And we bought this place in 1983. And it was a German restaurant called Sandy's Oak Ridge Manor for years.
The four buildings on top of the ridge are next to a pond and fountain teeming with wildlife. Mike enjoys the tranquil view from one of the many windows in the restaurant.
We have 18 acres here, a pond, just beautiful to see with all the, you know, the geese and the ducks, once in a while an otter.
Stroud's original location was at 85th and Troost. It started out as a barbecue restaurant opened by Guy and Helen Stroud in 1933.
And then during World War II, when they were rationing meat, she had nothing to barbecue, so she started serving fried chicken. But she was kind of renowned for fried chicken because, like, once a year she had a big 4th of July party serving fried chicken, and everybody loved it.
The chicken was popular and quickly established the tradition for which Stroud's is now known. Nothing complicated, just good fried chicken. In the kitchen, Craig Zahler is frying up a batch.
There's nothing special about the recipe. You know, we don't add any special spices or anything, salt, pepper, and flour. I think it's the way it's cooked. It's not deep fried, it's pan fried.
As the chicken browns, little bits of the fried coating fall off in the stainless steel pan. Craig calls them cracklings.
Basically using the cracklings from the fried chicken and add some grease, some flour, salt, pepper, and make a roux, and then just add milk, and that's your gravy.
Owner Mike Donegan says this is a careful, old-fashioned process in that frying the chicken properly takes time.
Be prepared to wait, and then come right out. It takes about a half hour to fry the chicken.
So, that chicken at Stroud's is made to order, which means you will have to wait at the table. But when it comes out, it's that crispy, crackly, golden brown that says home cooking. I'm Gina Kaufman. This is KCUR's Central Standard. And now, we want to hear about the chicken dish you crave on a Kansas City menu. Call 816-235-2888. Describe your go-to chicken dish in mouth-watering detail and do it now. 816-235-2888. Our critics this morning are Bon Juing Lee, Jenny Vergara, and Mary Block. Hello, all.
Good morning. Good morning.
So we did just start on the fried chicken path. Let's continue along that for a little while, and then we can move on to other ways of enjoying this fine poultry. Jenny, talk to me about fried chicken at Black Dirt.
So Black Dirt is that was one of the dishes that they kind of came out the gate with. Jonathan Justice obviously is serving it at his restaurant. And he's got a Campo Lindo fried chicken. It's got a herb breading on it. It's very light breading, mashed potatoes, and then it's served with green beans. I mean, it's just like the classic kind of dish for him. And I think it really establishes what the message is at Black Dirt and obviously the type of just kind of local cuisine that he's trying to do. So it's locally sourced chicken that he's using in it. And it's delicious. It's if you want a chicken meal, that's the place to go.
All right. And Bon Juing, we're going to start with some, I guess we could call these upscale fried chickens. You are like the fried chicken at Rye and Corvino Supper Club.
Yes, they're both, they're very different. Rye has a more classic sort of fried chicken with a thicker crust on it. Corvino's is much thinner. I think he has a little bit of cornmeal in the crust, and he serves it with a chili butter, which is delicious, and pickles.
Tell me about this cornmeal crust.
So it's just a thinner crust. I think if you think about it, kind of like how you would fry a catfish, maybe. And so it's just got a really thin crust, but it has this, it's still very crispy. And it doesn't kind of shatter everywhere. It kind of still stays together. And
how does he use chili? The chili butter that goes.
No, the chili butter is on the side.
Oh, on
it's
the...
just kind of like as a dip or a sauce, the way you might use hot sauce. At
okay,
rye, but
all right,
yeah. And he serves it with pickles.
Pickles,
yeah.
Okay. Mary, you also like the Corvino fried chicken.
I do, and this is kind of his second rendition. He used to have one that was like his version of a chicken McNugget, but. Wonderful pieces of chicken that were fried, and then you could wrap it up in a lettuce leaf for a wrap with some
on top of the fried breading,
and then you just eat it like a sandwich with hot sauce.
Right, this one is a little more traditional now. Yes. They're just actually pieces of chicken with bone,
and you can also get that same dish only roasted if you prefer with the chili butter.
So we've heard about fried chicken at Stroud's. That our producer took us to. Then we've heard from our critics so far about Black Dirt, Rye, and Corvino Supper Club. Jenny, you are recommending Go Chicken Go.
So, you know, everybody's got a guilty pleasure. And if I am in a hurry and just want a snack, I am not opposed to driving through the drive-thru at Go Chicken Go and getting just chicken strips with some G sauce and, you know, eating it on the road. My son loved it. And so did I. I grew to love it. So
tell me about G sauce.
Oh, G sauce to me is kind of a combination between almost like a hot sauce and a salsa. It's chunky. It's got kind of bits of tomato, bits of pepper in it. But it's got a little bit of a kick, not too much. I mean, it's really just delicious. It's kind of a mild, nice sauce, and it's very tomato based. So
there are a lot of options for a quick fried chicken. What stands out to you about Go Chicken Go?
Well, it's history. I mean, Go Chicken Go has been around Kansas City for a long time, and there's several locations. There's one actually out south now that's kind of closer to where we are now, so I think that's probably it. It's come closer to me, so it's more of an option, I guess, for us. But, you know, if you want local, you know, to support a local business, it's, you know, Go Chicken Go has been around a long time.
So moving on a little bit from fried chicken, can we talk about whole roasted chickens? That is something I don't know if they're becoming more common on menus or if I'm just noticing them more, but I'll say I'm a fan of this trend.
Yes.
If it is that.
I see them on menus around the world now more often, although I can't say that I've, I mean, seen them in Kansas City more often, but have you all seen whole roasted chickens in Kansas City?
Brookside Poultry has whole roasted chickens.
Sure. Yeah.
There are quite a few of them on your list.
Yeah. You know, it's one way to really keep the moisture in when you obviously cook on the bone and you keep it whole. I mean, it really creates a lovely kind of juicy texture no matter how you're really cooking it. So I think whole or half bird makes a lot of sense.
Pondering, you're noticing this around the world?
Yeah. I think there's kind of a return to, I think it's associated a lot with French cooking. I think there's kind of a revival of classic French cooking now in the United States and around the world. And so I think you're seeing more of these whole roasted chickens. I also think that there's a more emphasis on sharing, a more communal form of dining. And I think a whole roasted chicken is a great way for a group of friends or a family to go out and order kind of a centerpiece that everyone kind of shares.
You know, okay, so let's talk about Poyo, spelled P-O-I-O. Mary and Jenny, you are both recommending this. Mary, kick us off here.
Okay. Poyo, it has wood-fired chicken. And
what does that mean? I mean, that sounds a little bit like the description says it, but I'm not sure everyone does understand.
Well,
what
if you think about grilled chicken, but they're priming the grill with wood, so it's wood-fired, like if you have a wood-fired pizza. And so the chickens are just coming off that grill as people come in the restaurant. And this restaurant is all about the chicken. They do have some Filipino style ribs, but it's really about the chicken. They give you tortillas and their version of a spicy salsa verde, and you can make your own taco with it. But I would also tell you the chicken is great, but the sides are equally good. So don't sleep on the sides. They've got some great roasted broccoli. They've got a corn. They've got kimchi fried rice. It's really and it's fast.
That was highly quotable. Don't sleep on the sides. You heard it here first.
That's right. And it's one of those where you just go up and order and then take it to your table. So you're in and out, but you're really getting good quality food.
I actually saw that on Jenny's and Mary's list yesterday, so I went for lunch yesterday.
Ooh.
And you can smell the smoke when you pull up. I mean, they're grilling them with firewood, yeah.
Jenny, anything to add about this particular chicken?
So one of the things I love about this place is the price point. You can get a whole chicken and a couple of sides and feed your family of four for probably about $25. So it's a real reasonable price. He sells both whole chicken and half chicken. And like Mary said, it's done with cherry wood. And it's really got a nice smoky flavor. You can smell it from the parking lot. I mean, that's one of the draws. But Mary's right. As good as the chicken is, and one of the other things he does that I think is unique is that he makes his own
hot sauces.
Carlos, who owns The Bite, actually also owns Pollo, and it's his dad that's actually in the kitchen cooking, who is charming and delightful. If you get a chance, say hi, pop back and say hi. But Carlos makes his own hot sauces, and there's several different kinds that are kind of on a shelf in the dining room. You can kind of pick and choose, and they're not really marked. So you're kind of just guessing, but there's like an orange one and a red one and a green one. And
they were marked when I went yesterday.
Okay. I was going to say,
they were labeled, yeah.
Okay,
careful
good.
With the orange one. That's usually habanero.
Yeah. So I love the habanero because it's just got that little bit of fruitiness to it. So definitely try it with the hot sauce. It's good, but it's just comforting and lovely. It's an easy lunch, easy dinner.
And Bonjuing, talk to me about El Pollo Rey.
Yeah, so that is a very similar format in cooking. But there, as the name suggests, it really is just chicken. And it's about the chicken. And you go in and they have,
So you can sleep on the sides.
Well, I don't know that there are that many sides. I've had rice and beans.
Yeah, I think that's it.
But there are not that many sides there. But
right.
It is roasted chicken. You buy it by whole or half. I don't know if there's even a smaller option than that.
Wings. And that would be the smaller option.
And then
option.
They give you a stack of tortillas and some salsa, and you kind of make your own. It's a very similar concept.
And then Mary, Brewery Imperial?
Yes. They have a very similar dish, and they grill the chicken in their big wood-fired grill that is the focal point of the restaurant/brewery. And they serve it with roasted jalapeno, cilantro, onion radish salad, lime, and salsa. And the other thing I would point out, I know it's a cousin of chicken, but they do a great rabbit mole there too.
A cousin of chicken. I don't know if rabbit is a cousin of chicken.
We could call it that.
We've left the bird world and entered the mammals. I don't know that
distant cousin, maybe.
Yes, but it tastes very
like chicken.
Similar.
Okay, I will get back to roasted chicken, but this whole taste like chicken thing, I know it's a joke.
I was going to say,
but I feel like
joke.
We have to address it because chicken as sort of like the most neutral meat, is that what it is, do you think?
It's the vodka of the protein world.
Yeah.
Wow.
It is. I mean, it takes on the flavor of whatever you put with it. I mean, and we're eating an awful lot of chicken at home, I think, a lot of us. So just because it's good for you and it's a nice lean protein.
Yeah, I was going to say, you have kind of one best of both worlds, because for those who want to eat the lean meat, you can focus on the white meat. And then those who want a little bit of more, flavor and juice, you can, go to the dark
meat. That's a great point.
Yep.
We will return momentarily to roasted whole chickens because there are more on our lists. But I do want to turn to one of our callers, Don, who has rung us up at 816-235-2888 to tell us about his favorite chicken dish. Hi, Don.
Good morning. One of my favorite chicken dishes around town is the Kung Pong Ghee, which is a fried chicken with spicy dried chili pepper and garlic soy sauce. And that's really good. Nice spice flavor to it. It's a white breast meat that's been battered, fried, and then with the sauce over it. It's delicious.
So
then they also have
this stands out as a chicken dish to you, which kind of intrigues me. Like
if
you think about chicken, you're like, oh yeah, I know where I'm going. Like this is the one. Can you talk about why this is like to you? This is how chicken shines.
I like it because it's boneless. Fresh chicken meat, and it's been battered and fried, so there's no bone in there. It makes it really tasty, morsels. And the spice factor is it can be spiced to your preference, whether it's be mild spice or very heavy spice. And it's just delicious. It's a great dish.
Well, it's done.
For those people that...
Oh, sorry. Go on.
For those people that like bone-in chicken pieces, they have an appetizer, which is their Kung Pong chicken wings. And that's a little spicier than my taste. my stomach won't take it real spicy, but it's really good too.
Well, Don,
spice.
Thank you. And this is at Ika Grill?
Yes, it is. It's a new place that opened up about 3-4 weeks ago out on 117th and Row.
Okay.
Joe's Barbecue.
Well, thank you for that call. I do want to say he's recommending a what he's calling a spicy chicken dish. And we're going to spend a little more time on wings later. But, Jenny, there's a place at Parlor where you're recommending a distinctly spiced wing, a chicken wing.
Actually, it's not a wing that I'm recommending, although they do have wings there. The chicken sandwich or just the chicken by itself at Mother Clucker inside of Parlor is doing Nashville hot chicken. And there's several places in town. Actually, Rye will spice their fried chicken up and do kind of a Nashville style there. But the one at Mother Clucker is really good. And he's got 6 levels of spice, which I think is kind of important. And I think I got the middle spice, which was called like Cluck Yeah or something the first time I went there. And the owner really razzed me. He's like, come on, hotter than that. So I would tell you that, you know, if you like it spicy, he can definitely heat. This is the place where you can get the heat that you're looking for with Nashville hot chicken.
And so what they're doing is, I'm assuming, frying it normally in a batter and then they're applying a hot sauce and varying instead of incorporating the spice into the actual
And they
crust.
Might be incorporating some of the spice it's definitely sauce over chicken scenario.
Talk to me about this distinction, though, because I think like the balance when you're spicing chicken is tricky, honestly, because of the fact that the chicken doesn't carry so much of its own taste that, like, do you just feel like you're eating a spice by itself? You know what I'm saying? Like, how, like, I almost feel like strong spices on chicken can just be too much.
You mean obliterate the chicken flavor?
Does chicken have a flavor?
Oh, it does.
The flavor
it
of
totally
chicken
does
is.
Have flavor. But I think there. I mean, traditionally, and from what I understand of Nashville hot chicken, sometimes they incorporate the spice into the batter. So it's more the crust has innately a spice to it. Whereas a lot of places, they fry it and then they roll it in some kind or dress it in some kind of a spicy dressing, which seems counterintuitive because you'd think it would lose the crunchiness. But there's a lot of oil and fat in the dressing, which carries the heat. So
it can even be marinated in hot sauce.
I mean, that too.
Yeah. Or spice in the flour that you're dipping
all
the chicken
of that.
In.
All of it, yeah. So multiple layers.
Layers of spice.
So returning to the chicken that really is about primarily the chicken, it seems, the roasted chicken seems like sort of the most straightforward version of that. Jenny, talk to me about Brookside Poultry Company as we sort of return to our discussion of roasted chicken.
Mm-hmm. So this is rotisserie chicken. And, you know, basically this is a teeny tiny restaurant. So he planned for a lot of to-go, for a lot of people to call and order up like whole chickens to-go. And then you build your dinner around it, which is usually how I do it just because, you know, it's a tiny place and usually I'm on the run during the week. So it's a quick dinner. But he does whole duck and whole chicken. And his chickens come from a local chicken farmer here in Kansas City. And they're delicious. It's just, it's got the nice crispy skin. He's got a couple of sides if you want to order sides. I usually just take it home and kind of make my own meal. I mean, the endless uses of a rotisserie chicken for a lunch and dinner is just, you know, the list goes on and on. So you can be as creative as you want. And
does he apply any herbs or spices to the
roast?
He's
got a brine. He's got a 72-hour brine that he puts on it that I believe is buttermilk based. Mm-hmm. And then basically he just roasts it. And so it's just, it's got the right amount of salt. Mm. A lot of the like rotisserie birds that you get at the grocery store, even the big boxes, tend to be salt bombs. I mean, they've just been brined to death in a lot of salt. So you don't have that problem here. It's perfectly seasoned.
And you buy it whole.
You can buy whole. And I believe whole and half he sells. But I believe whole bird, both chicken and duck, is really what he wants to kind of sell to go. I think the half is more for the fried chicken that you stand to eat. And he does have excellent fried chicken as well.
And the sides seem to reference kind of Southern American food a little bit anyway. Like there are fried green tomatoes and things like that.
Well, Chef Charles Dowling has always done Southern food. I mean, he was kind of known as the person who brought shrimp and grits kind of to Kansas City in a meaningful way, I think, at Webster House, or at least one of the first. And he's kind of always carried that with him. He's originally from Atlanta, I believe. So he's he's got that Southern boy ripping through his food, no doubt.
And then as long while we're still on the whole bird, Manila Bay Yeehaw Yeehaw?
Yeah, so Manila Bay basically has broasted chicken. So they used to be Valley, I think they were called Valley Broasters. And they used to be out in Grain Valley. They might actually still have that location. I'm not sure. But Manila Bay is actually a Filipino restaurant now. It's located over near Bannister Mall. But they still do the broasted, Valley Broasted chicken that they kind of were originally known for.
It is a funny story. We have, if someone wants to dig through our archives online for this, there was one of our reporters, Andrea Tudhope, did a story about this place where they started serving what they thought the neighborhood in Kansas City and Grain mm-hmm. Valley would like, mm-hmm. which was the broasted chicken. Right. And then they started finding that people in the Filipino community were coming in saying, like, but what would you make? Mm-hmm. Can you make me something like I would have had back home? And so it sort of became this dual identity kind of mm-hmm. restaurant.
Right.
And to be clear, broasted means broiled and roasted, I'm assuming?
It's like pressure cooked fried chicken. So it's like kind of pressure cooker and a fryer kind of together. Mm. And it's supposedly what the Colonel Sanders was kind of known for helping to bring to the world of fried chicken. But it basically creates a very thin crust that keeps all the oil off the meat. So the meat stays really juicy and it really locks in. The pressure cooking really locks in the juice in the meat. Mm. It just tastes distinctively different than pan fried or deep fried chicken, I would tell you, which tends to get a little dry.
Can you explain the difference in taste?
The difference in taste to me is always broasted chicken has a much lighter, crispier crust on it. It's not as thick. Fried chicken to me tends to always have a bit of a thicker crust to it.
So this is that crackly, skinny
yes,
thing.
Yes. And so when you
I know what you're talking
kind of
about.
Bite into it and then it's all the juice. I mean, to me, one of the things is just juicy broasted chicken is delicious.
Okay, we've heard about broasted chicken, roasted chicken, wood-fired chicken, fried chicken. Up next, barbecue chicken, chicken sandwiches, chicken and waffles, and whatever your favorite chicken dish happens to be. Call 816-235-2888. But do it fast. Time is running out. I'm Gina Kaufman. This is a food show on KCUR's Central Standard. Welcome back to KCUR's Central Standard. If you feel like chicken tonight, this show can be your guide.
The bird is the word.
Oh, sorry, I had to. Our food critics are sharing their recommendations for awesome chicken dishes on Kansas City menus, and there's still a little time for you to share yours at 816-235-2888. Bonjming Lee, Mary Block, Jenny Vergara, hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Let's take a quick call from Raymond in Blue Springs. Hi, Raymond.
Hey, good morning. I just wanted to give a quick recommendation that was given to me about chicken livers. I love chicken livers, and Go-Go Chicken was mentioned earlier, and they've got the best chicken livers. The batter is just right. It's crunchy, and then there's a little bit on the inside. And then the actual liver itself isn't mushy. It's just a good, firm liver cooked just right. And you can get it with some Go-Go chicken sauce, which I mentioned earlier, and it's awesome. And then I got a tidbit for people out there that red blood cell count is important if you have cancer, you're going through chemo or that kind of thing. And chicken livers have a lot of something in them that gives you red blood cells and helps you if you have cancer. So,
well, Raymond, thank you for that call. We don't have anyone who can vet that health information for us, so we'll take that at face value rather than as an expert commentary. But it sounds like Raymond is quite the expert in chicken livers, and he's recommending Go Chicken Go.
Actually, I like Go-Go Chicken better, maybe, as a name. It's got a nice ring to it.
It does. but chicken livers, I mean, we have talked about the sort of relative tastelessness of chicken itself. But the liver, I would say, is an exception to that. The liver, the organ meat.
Well, and Go Chicken Go might be one of the few places that's actually still doing kind of chicken livers and gizzards and all of that.
I know Rye does it as well.
Do they?
They serve fried livers and gizzards together.
Nice. If I'm going to have chicken liver, I want it in the form of mousse.
Pâté. Mm-hmm. Pâté, please.
So I want to hear about sandwiches. Bonjuing, you've got a chicken sandwich on your list.
Yes. And Jenny and I were talking about how mouthwatering it makes us to think about this vinegar. It's like a vinegar braised chicken that's just pulled off the bone and then it's served on a sandwich.
Wait, where do you get it?
At Happy Gillis Cafe.
You can't leave us
in Columbus
that.
Park. And I've actually had it with pork, but they serve it with slaw, peanuts, but you know, they do a chicken version as well. And it's the vinegar, it's just, it's so tangy and it you can smell it before you. It's mouthwatering.
It's got kind of an Asian feel to it.
It does. But definitely it does.
But it eats like a pulled pork sandwich. I mean, it's very comforting and easy to understand. And it's got golden raisins, peanuts, some red slaw.
And some slaw in it. And the vinegar, it's tangy. So there's a little bit of sugar in this. So it's not just all sour. It's tangy.
Abby Jo told me it's chicken thighs that she cooks down with balsamic vinegar.
Yeah.
Just to kind of spike that vinegar. And you really do kind of feel it in the back, kind of on both sides of your mouth, kind of in the back when you eat it. It's just delicious.
Makes your mouth water.
I know. It's making my mouth water, and I've never had it. You're describing it really well.
They serve it on a ciabatta.
Right. And it's not going to be around long. So if you want to try it, get in there. They're getting ready to change to their spring menu. I went in there yesterday to have it. I'm telling you, you know, when the weather is cold, dishes like this just like save your life. It makes you hopeful for spring.
So that was a compelling recommendation for a chicken sandwich at Happy Gillis. So, Jenny, you also have some other chicken sandwiches to share with us here.
Absolutely. One of the places that I like to have a chicken salad, so I'm not necessarily a traditional chicken salad fan with the kind of grapes or apples or nuts,
celery,
or pecan, celery, all that. They do kind of a nice version at Succotash where they use tarragon as kind of their main counterpoint in their chicken salad. And it's so good. It does have a little apple and celery, red sweet onion, tarragon and walnuts, and it's served on an egg bun. And it's just delicious and comforting. But that little bit of tarragon has that kind of anise flavor, just that punch of green. To me, it makes all the difference in this.
Chicken salad is like its own institution. The chicken salad sandwich. I mean, I'm not talking about like a green salad with some chicken on top. The chicken salad sandwich, and I don't know if this is like nationwide, but I feel like it is a Kansas City favorite.
It is nationwide.
It is nationwide.
Oh, yeah. The basic mayonnaise, celery, sometimes grapes.
Sometimes apples, sometimes celery. Sometimes
I had a restaurateur years ago tell me that, you know, if you have a chicken salad on your menu, it's going to be your number one sandwich, whether you give it a lot of love or not, because it's just that popular.
For real?
Yeah.
Nationwide. I believe it.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's cube chicken. Sometimes it's pulled chicken. It can be,
it's easy and comforting.
But the traditional is chunks.
Chunks, yeah. Mm-hmm. I think of it as chunks, yeah.
Yeah. Jenny, so the chicken salad that you've just recommended jumps out at you in part because it's going a different direction with, for example, the tarragon.
Right. It's the herbaceousness that kind of makes it stand out to me and makes it different from all the rest, which I really appreciate. And I love Succotash. I love what Beth's doing in her
served
cute
on
little...
sliced bread?
It's an egg bun.
Egg bun, okay.
A little bit of an egg bun. And then the last place I'm recommending is Wiener Kitchen. So they are over in Overland Park, and they do their own sausages in-house and hot dogs in-house. And they have one that is a bulgogi chicken. So this is a take on the Korean bulgogi dish. And it's just delicious. It's kind of what they have in the dog as well as what they put on the dog that kind of makes it Korean. So it's basically a garlic chicken wiener that has carrot daikon slaw, kind of a sweet and savory bulgogi sauce on top, which is soy based, obviously, and very savory. And it's got a little bit of toasted sesame seeds on this really soft, lovely bun.
So this is a chicken hot dog.
Right. Garlic chicken.
Awesome.
It is.
I've had their sausages. They are great.
It's a flavor bomb. It's a flavor bomb.
They're great people and they do great. Yeah. Great things.
So chicken plus starch is not just a sandwich equation. That magical combo also gives us chicken pot pie and chicken waffles, both of which appear on Mary Block's list.
Yes. The Waffle Iron out of Lawrence has been doing pop-ups in Kansas City, and they've been doing some amazing chicken and waffle combinations. Not too long ago, they had one at Hogshead, and they combined their waffles, which they make them up right there, with Hogshead Nashville hot fried chicken, a slaw, hot sauce, Kentucky Yaki, which is a bourbon marinade, maple syrup, a brown butter whiskey whip, and a dill pickle. It's gorgeous, and it, with all those different flavors going on, it's just amazing. And then a couple weeks ago, they did one at Brookside Poultry with the same fried chicken we've been talking about, and they paired that with whipped honey butter and chipotle maple syrup. So the key to both of these, I think, is the hot sauce. You got the coolness of the syrup, and then you've got the hot sauce. And
is it served bone on? The chicken?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I believe so. And they also had some wings, too. Yeah. Yep. But while we're talking about Hogshead, they've got an awesome Nashville hot chicken sandwich. And I'm not a big fried chicken person. I usually save my fried food for French fries, but this is incredible. It's a Nashville, it's a breast of chicken, great hot spices, and then it's got a pickle slaw on top. So great contrast, hot and cold. And the chicken is just beautifully done, and it's a great sandwich.
Now, I do feel kind of remiss that we have not really discussed wings, but I feel like Jenny can take care of that for us.
So my wing list starts at the peanut, which I think we have to kind of start with. It's kind of one of Kansas City's favorite versions of wings, and it's just a buffalo chicken wing, but their claim to fame is that they're so big, it takes 20 minutes to actually make this order, much like the Stroud's fried chicken we heard at the top of the show. So this is just like a whole, you get literally the whole wing, and it's big and juicy and slathered in buffalo sauce. I mean, this is definitely not first date territory, so it's going to take 1,000 napkins to like solve whatever you've just had. But so I kind of start there, and then I like Bear Me Thai Bistro, which is the new Thai place that's opened up in the Crossroads. And she has a little bit of kind of a Thai wing there that has a spicy garlic sauce with fresh basil, and then she just deep fries them until they're really, really crispy. And I, you know, it's sometimes she'll just kind of French them and just kind of pull them down into a little drummy, so they're really easy to eat. And it's just that crispy, crunchy, kind of sweet and sour skin. And then my final wing is obviously at Carbone inside of Parlor, and it's a mole chicken wing. And this is actually dusted in mole spice, so it's really, depth of flavor is unbelievable. The chicken is perfectly cooked. I think it's deep fried or grilled, I'm not quite sure. And then she rolls it in all of these lovely dry kind of mole inspired spices.
I've tried this and I could Fantastic. Not beforehand. I was like, I can't quite imagine what you're describing when she described it to me. And then I tried it and it was like the most addictive. Like I got this giant order and thought like, well, that's not, I'm not going to get anywhere near. No, it's yep. insane.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just layers and layers of flavor. You know, obviously the chicken is holding all that up.
Underneath. Is it served with mole sauce?
It is not. It's no. actually, she served it with maybe it was kind of an aioli. It was almost like a ranch version. But she kind of apologetically said, I'd wish you'd just eat it plain. Oh. And I go, why are you serving this, girl, if you don't want this? Yeah. Your chicken dunked in ranch dressing. Don't do it.
And well, chicken and mole is like a match made in heaven yeah. to me. It's yeah. like peanut butter and jelly.
The surprising thing to me about it is that it was very not greasy, very right. dry.
Right. So
and
it's literally
it
a dry
that
rub.
Way.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, so, okay, that's... So, Jenny, your three favorite chicken wings, again, just listed off mm-hmm. as a summary recap.
Yes, absolutely. So, peanut for the buffalo chicken wings, Bear Me Thai Bistro if you want great crunchy Thai wings, and then obviously Carbone inside of Parlor for the mole wings.
And I should also say the peanut fried chicken wings are not just big because they give you the entire wing. They are just
they're
big wings.
I mean, chickens on
these
steroids.
Are big birds.
Yeah, they are big wings.
These
yeah.
are big birds.
All right. Well, how about barbecue chicken? Bondring and Mary, I want you to discuss. You're both recommending some barbecue chickens. I just do need to get out of the way that I might have an unpopular opinion about this, but I don't think that chicken stands up to barbecue sauce. I just don't. Every barbecue chicken I've ever had feels like I'm eating straight barbecue sauce, which is just on a meat texture thing.
Hmm. Well, you're just wrong.
I okay. think you're wrong, too.
Fair enough. I accept that. I've been told repeatedly I'm not enough of a barbecue lover to even have a say.
Well, I typically, when I go into a barbecue restaurant, I'm going to get the burnt ends or the ribs, but I do like a really good piece of barbecue chicken, and I prefer the legs to the breast. But when I go out for barbecue chicken, I like to go either to Joe's Kansas City or Danny Edwards. They both have really good smoky chicken, and I love both sauces.
And the thing about it is that, as Mary is an example of this, most people don't think of barbecue chicken when you go out for barbecue. They want the ribs, they want the brisket, they want the you right. know, the red meat. But I will tell you that the chicken on Joe's menu is honestly, I think it's the sleeper hit for me. Mm-hmm. Every time I go with out-of-town friends, I always order the chicken. They look at me sideways, and then they finally get around to tasting it, and they're like, you are right. This chicken is fantastic.
What is it that they're doing
well,
so
first
well
of all, it's
there.
Moist. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, it's. I mean, somehow they're able to keep this chicken from drying out. And then on top of that—
That is maybe part of it. That
yeah.
That a lot of the barbecue chicken I've had, I feel this, like— texture that
completely
is just like,
agreed. I completely yeah. agree with you. And so that's part of the reason why I think the Joe's chicken is particularly good. And also with your comment about the sauce, the skin is so well sauced and I don't know if they're brushing it throughout the smoking process, but the sauce is so incorporated into the skin itself that you don't actually really need extra sauce.
No.
And the chicken is just so moist. It's it's saucing itself. I mean, it's so great.
And it occurred to me while we're having this discussion, the very first time I went to Joe's, somebody introduced us to it, and we went with them, and they said, you've got to get the chicken.
And that so was you the might first, not have otherwise.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think I would have. If someone also pushed me to get the chicken, I don't think I would have naturally ordered it.
So wait, is there like consensus in here that Joe's is the place for barbecue chicken?
I do like it at Dan Edwards, too.
Oh, right, right.
Very similar. Same idea.
But that's the closest to consensus I've ever heard when two people gather to talk about barbecue in Kansas City. Two or more
excellent.
People.
It's excellent. And I think you can order it by the half or the whole,
yeah.
Right? Yeah.
All right. Okay. Jenny, what's the chicken biryani that makes your list? This is a style of chicken that I can objectively get behind.
So I'm at Lenexa Public Market at Sohelia's Kitchen. And Sohelia herself is the chef who basically is making Indian and Pakistani dishes inside the Lenexa Public Market. Her biryani is delicious. And it's kind of an interesting dish from the standpoint that people don't really think about it being layered. But to actually make it, it's like this delicious rice on the bottom. And then it's layered with whatever meat you want. In this case, I usually get chicken. But it's like a chicken gravy with chicken pieces in it. And then you layer more rice and more gravy and more rice and more gravy. And that gravy ends up kind of soaking into the rice. So you end up with this super flavorful rice that has these tender pieces of chicken. Maybe there's some vegetable in there, maybe not. And it's just this very comforting, I can't explain it, but there's something very comforting to me about just eating this rice that's just soaked up all this delicious flavor from the gravy.
It's cooked totally differently, but I think of it as the Indian fried rice.
Yeah.
The version of Chinese fried rice.
And I think Indian food generally has great chicken dishes,
yeah,
because of that sauce, yeah, that right. Kind of helps, you know,
butter chicken,
absolutely. Keep it moist and give it flavor, and yeah,
absolutely.
Jenny, you are also recommending an Italian American chicken classic, the Spadini.
Yeah, so you got to talk about Garozzo Spadini if you're in Kansas City. I mean, it's been around for a long time and was actually invented specifically for and in Kansas City when they, you know, kind of opened their place here. But it's basically just like this very tender chicken that has a lot of garlic and a lot of olive oil, and it's just marinated in that, and then it's kind of skewered, and I think there's some breadcrumbs. You kind of roll it in breadcrumbs with a little herb, and then it's skewered and usually grilled. And they serve it with different sauces and pastas. I mean, just depending on what kind of presentation you want at Garozzo's. I just want the plain chicken spadini. I don't even need the pasta. It's just, it's this garlicky flavor-filled chicken. I mean, to me, if you want to talk about a dish that really takes on the flavor, this is that dish. Garlicky, buttery, delicious.
Do you know a history on chicken spadini?
Yeah.
Does that dish actually appear on menus in Italy, or is this a very like Italian-American thing? I'm not sure.
No. So there is beef spadini and pork spadini in Italy. And basically, supposedly Garozzo's invented it here when everybody started getting more conscious about eating, you know, lighter meats, leaner meats. And so chicken spadini was born to give people kind of an option now once you've slathered it in oil and butter. And
now you see lobster spadini.
Right. Everything's spadini now. But, you know, it's just that little bit of breadcrumb and parm that is just it's and garlic that just makes it delicious.
And then you've got a tamale we should try.
Yeah, so Red Kitchen Tamale is also in the Lenexa Public Market. And basically, the tamales there are just delicious. She does a lot of different Mexican things. If you're there in the morning, definitely get the breakfast burrito. But she has a chicken tamale that's very tender, and she has a little bit of sauce in the chicken that you can actually taste. You know, it's not just shredded chicken and that's it in a tamale. A lot of times, tamales to me taste very bland. Like, you kind of have to have something else with it, a sauce or something. But she actually takes her chicken, and I think it's like a green chili salsa that maybe she stirs in and then fills her tamales with. But they're very tender, very moist, and you need to order them if you want to pick up any quantity to go from her. So she's got a website you can order directly online.
And this is Red Kitchen Tamales.
Red Kitchen Tamales.
And before we go, I mean, I know that all of you in your own right like to cook, and I wonder if you have any chicken preparing tips for those who, like as Jenny said, a lot of people eat an awful lot of chicken at home and then don't want to order it when they go out. So what is your advice to them to like up their game?
You know, I think grilling is an easy way to go, and you're going to be able to maintain the moistness, but throwing a chicken in the oven and roasting it is really not as hard as it seems. It's like everybody thinks roasting a turkey is so hard, but
butter
it really
helps.
Isn't. Yeah.
I like to spatchcock my chickens for the grill. Just cut
spatchcock?
Them. Yeah, so you cut out the backbone and it basically lays flat on the grill.
Like opening up like a book.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
right.
It cooks a lot faster that way.
Yeah, it's delicious. It's, you know, It's a fun thing to say, spatchcock.
It really is. Bonjuing, and you're advising us it's all about the butter.
Butter. Stick some butter underneath the skin and roast it.
There you go. Brown.
Yeah.
Brown skin.
Really universal cooking advice.
That's right. Butter.
Our time is up. Bonjuing Lee, food photographer, also known as the Ulterior Epicure. Thanks for dropping by.
Thank you, Gina.
Jenny Vergara, contributing editor at Feast Magazine and all-around food maven about town. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much.
Mary Block, blogging it around the block. Thank you. This
thank
has been
you.
Great. Our official list of the best chicken dishes in town will be at kcur.org/centralstandard over the weekend. You can get any shows you missed this week while you're there. We talked about what the Kansas City mayor does and does not do. That should help you pick a candidate if you're among the 44% of undecided voters out there. We've also got a fun pop music and literature conversation. You can listen to all of it archived at kcur.org/centralstandard. Our producers are Melody Rao, Sylvia Maria Gross, Chris Young, Coy Duggar, Suzanne Hogan, and intern Salisa Kalakal. Linda Scher runs the board for us, and our theme music is by Spoonbender Labs. I'm Gina Kaufman.